Okay, I guess it's about 4 minutes past, so shall we make a start to the work we have ahead of us tonight, and if more people join, they'll just have to catch up. Okay, firstly, Christina, can you give us the apologies and those present?
Yes, present are Keith, Kim, Nigel, Bernie, Bart, Bill, Jaap, and Christina. And we have apologies from Paulus, Eberhard, and Suzanne.
Okay, thank you. Does that include all apologies? Anyone aware of any others? If not, let's accept the apologies and move on to the report of the 7th October meeting, which is up on Adobe Connect for anyone who's logged on. Oh, I see nearly all of us are logged on to Adobe Connect. And Bernie, since you've got control, do you just want to walk us through those that record?
Yes, sir. All right, so I believe that we have Keith, Chris, Eberhard, Desiree, and Nigel. For staff, Bart, Christina, Gabriella, and Bernie. And apologies, we had Martin, Zika, Patricio, Oscar, Bill, and Suzanne. The agenda was confirmed. Confirmation of past meeting reports, the September 23rd and September 30th meetings were approved. Reports on public consultation and discussion, that was the final report to close off the public consultation for the report that was posted after Brussels, and that was approved. And this was the second time it was approved, so it was Bart, was that, has that been posted? I haven't even checked. I'm sure Bart will get back to us at some point. Draft delegation report was our first round of that. And we had the week before this, September 30th meeting, we had made I'd made some amendments to the formatting and some wording. So that would change in this report. Nigel noted that section 224 would be amended to note that these decisions by the board should match the original public consultation report. Nigel and Al noted that they did not agree to suggesting conclusion recommended. The working group support a conclusion that a PDP is required. Basically, I made the changes and we've got the new version. And then that was all we did. We came to the next meeting, which includes this one.
Hi, this is Oscar.
Hi, Oscar.
Hi, and this is Patricio.
Hey, Patricio.
Hi.
Hi. We've just finished going over the October 7th minutes. We confirmed the agenda, approved the reports from the last two meetings, and made a few changes to the delegation first version report. And that was about it. I've just finished going through that, and I'll turn it back over to the chair.
Thanks, Benny. Is everyone comfortable to accept this as the report of the last meeting? I'll take silence as assent. Thank you all. Okay, moving along, we have a fairly short agenda for tonight. We have the retirement report to finalise after the amendments of the last two meetings, and so hopefully we can put that chapter to finalisation stage at this meeting, and then we move on to the delegation report, which is a second reading of that, and so hopefully we can get final input and amendment. And I can see we'll have quite a considerable debate around the issue of whether or not the final recommendation is the correct one. So we'll get to that in due course, and then we'll just confirm our future meetings. So, Christina, could we have the retirement report, item 4 on the agenda, up on Adobe Connect? Thank you. And Bernie, would you like to walk us through, highlighting the changes that have been made since the first draft?
Yes, sir, I'll be glad to do that if my button can actually find my unmute. Not much has changed for those people who've been following. We've basically removed the word rules from Section 1, which made everyone happy and I don't think changed a lot of things. And my mouse is causing me grief again. Sorry about bouncing all over the place. So we'll go quickly through it. For retirement, RFC 1591, News Memo 1, ICP 1, and the GAC principles don't really talk about the retirement of a CCTLD. In 1.2, we look at the inferred practices, procedures, or processes based on decisions. The TL decision of January 2005, Timor-Leste, basically was looking at, I don't know if your screen is having as many problems as I am, but I will apologize. I am trying very hard to keep the flow going. 1.2, all right. So basically, when they delegated TL in 2005, it was a replacement for TP. We are talking about Timor-Leste. And basically, the there was an understanding that the manager responsible for the CCTLD would look at decommissioning it in due time, referred to as a process of migration. Our next relevant case was the .UM undelegation, where basically University of California didn't want to take care of it anymore. There were no registrations, and it was put back on the reserve list, but of course there was no process for that. 1.2.3, we've got in 2007, of course, the .YU retirement, which by that point the board decided to set down some time limits for the retirement. From the public consultation, we got some input from the people that were involved in the .YU retirement. It was, their big misunderstanding was that, or deception was that, they were given 2 years from the time of the board decision and they wanted 2 years from the sunrise of the new domain. At any rate, in replying to the public consultation, they requested, as part of requesting an extension, because they didn't meet the two-year deadline perfectly, that really I can establish some hard and fast rules about how to retire CCTLDs, which is very relevant to what we're doing. And up on your screen on 1.2.3.4, we've got the September 2009 ICON board decision to extend the date for the retirement of the YU CCTLD. Part of the changes, if you haven't been on a few calls, it was we split Section 2 into Section 2 analysis and 3 issues. So, 2.1, current processes, procedures, and practices used by ICANN. There are no documented processes, procedures, or practices which apply to retirement of TLD. We've got some inferred ones, some ones that we talked about. Timor-Leste, the manager's responsible, .UM, if someone wants to operate it, goes back on the unassigned list, and YU, where there were some hard limits set. I'll take questions because I know I'm moving at warp speed here, if there are any at this point before we get into issues. Hearing none, I will keep moving at warp speed. under issues. Basically, there is no policy regarding the retirement of a CCTLD. There's significant divergence between the approach to the retirement of .tp and .yu. In reading the board transcript relating to the 2007 YU decision, we get the sense that really there is some discomfort with the way the board is basically making up the rules as it goes along.
Excuse Bernie, I think Bill wants to say something.
Ah, sorry, I don't have that on my screen. Yes, Bill.
I think I'm unmuted.
You are.
I had did move pretty fast, and I had a comment way back in the beginning. I can hold that while you go through this, if you like.
Well, we've got you on the phone now, so I'll take it while I've got you.
Okay. Back up at the beginning where, what are we saying here? This is Dr. Kudu, right? Where 1.1.1.
Yeah.
And 1.1.3. I know this probably is a nitpicky kind of comment, but I'm assuming that what you meant to say in the second sentence of both of those paragraphs, however, it should be noted that according to IANA's interpretation of these documents, that you meant IANA's current interpretation of these documents.
Let me go back up there, and we'll make sure we're all on the same page. And okay, run that by me again, Bill. I'm trying to fit it into my mind here.
Sure. I'm assuming what you're describing here is IANA's current interpretation and not what's been going on since the beginning days of IANA.
Yes, that is correct. And so, I could correct. That's good.
Yeah, that would be good. IANA's current interpretation. That's it. That's all I would.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
Okay.
So that applies.
1.11 and 1.1.
Yes, that is correct.
All right, I'm going to mute.
All right, thanks, Bill. It's so much fun to have someone that actually reads the stuff that you write.
That's actually a really good point of clarification, too, because I guess we don't have any recorded history of IANA's pre-ICANN interpretation, so
that is correct.
Is appropriate. Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
So where were we? Section 3.
We're just moving down to recommendations. Yep.
Yeah. I'm scrolling, because it doesn't like it when I move it down too fast. Yes, we were at 3.5, I believe. The issue, what happens to managers not in agreement, we're retiring a CCTLD. In considering the .yu-derived practice, the choice of when to begin counting the two-year decommissioning period was an area of disagreement, blah, blah, blah. So basically, given the removal of a CCTLD from the route, is considered what I've removed the three choices. If you haven't been on the call for a few weeks, what we have in the draft versions of these documents is basically three choices and some facts that apply to each of the choice. The three choices being do nothing, ask that there be some guidelines provided but not necessarily undertake a PDP, or the third option is that we don't really see a way around this, you've got to take a PDP. Over the last few calls where we've dealt with this document, I think it's been fairly unanimous that we're looking at a PDP for the reasons that are listed here, and I'll go through them again just so we can finalize this. Given the removal of a CCTLD from the route is considered one of the most critical recommendations ICANN can make. ICANN is a policy-based organization. There is no policy for the retirement of CCTLDs. The CCNSO is responsible for the development of all policies for CCTLDs. There is no public documentation in use by ICANN or IANA on the retirement of CCTLD. The application of current practices is either significantly divergent or uneven. The minutes of the September 2007 ICANN meeting of the board dealing with the .yu retirement include a notation that really the CCNSO should deal with this fact. The September 2009 request by ARNIDS the then manager of .yu to the ICANN board, asked for guidance in the future on the process of retiring country codes. And basically, we close off with the DRD working group recommends the CCNSO to the CCNSO that it undertake a PDT on the retirement of CCTLDs. I'll be glad to take questions.
Thank you, Bernie. And just I, at the last call, we discussed the ISO 3166 or the ISO rules as established for 3166. And YARP has provided some information to us about the retirement process and the 50-year stand-down of a country code.
Yeah, I think we got that today or yesterday, right?
Yeah, and it hasn't been shared with the working group widely, but I'm just awaiting YARP's confirmation that what he has provided is public information. And I see YARP's on the call, so YARP, could you clarify whether that document is or the information that you provided can be circulated and made public?
The way I wrote it, I tried to make it not to put in any not to put in things which are supposed to be confidential. But when I saw your question later, earlier today, I think I will have a I will pass this to the Secretariat of the ISO to see whether they agree with me that that I can that this can be public information.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
that seems to be the prudent things to do.
That sounds quite reasonable. So I think what I would hope that we would be able to do. So we may hold the absolute finalisation of this document for another week. If the working group agrees, what I would like to do is, under the recommendations where we item 4 recommendations given, and we've got a number of statements, what I'd like to do is add that ISO has policies for the retirement of country codes on the 3166 list, which are appended, and then if we have clearance to append YARP's information, then we could do that. And my reason for wanting to do that is it does provide a guideline and probably a strengthening of the case for there to be a policy development process for retirement. So if the working group will indulge me some more time on that, we'll get that clarification and reserve the opportunity to insert as a final adjustment. Sorry, are there any other questions? If not, are we all then of a mind that other than the stated last possible amendment, are we happy to endorse this as the final report? I'll take silence as assent.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Yeah, you have a yes from me, Keith.
Excellent. Thank you all. I'll take that as positive confirmation unless I hear a no. Okay, can we move on then to the delegation report? Christina, could you please mount that? And Bernie, would you like to again walk us through this document?
Yes, sir. All right. Delegations. I hope we're not going to let the fact that we've got one under our belt get to our heads, and I'm going to blow that up a bit if you don't mind, because it's looking pretty tiny on my screen and I don't have my glasses right now. Okay. Now, on the delegation of CCTLDs, current processes, procedures, practices in use by ICANN that are documented, RFC 1591 has several sections, well, basically, RFC 1591, News Memo 1, ICP 1, does not have, News Memo 1 doesn't have anything, but ICP 1 and the GAC principles have sections which deal with the delegation of the CCTLD, and what I've done is I've got those documents in Annex, and the sections that deal with those are highlighted. We've then got IANA procedure for establishing LDs in Annex E, which is more about getting on the ISO 3166 list, so it's not much for CCTLDs. Understanding the delegation redelegation procedure, Annex F does talk about how to apply for CCTLD and what's going to happen.
Ernie, I just wanted to say I think somebody put the call on hold. That's where we were hearing the beeps.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And the operator can't really do anything about it, so.
Yeah. I'll talk over it.
I think it stopped.
Sponsorship agreement decision by the ICANN board is a documented application of process procedures and practices whereby on the September 2000 board meeting they approved that delegations of new CCTLDs would require sponsorship agreements. The other applicable one on 1.1.8 is ISO 3166, one exceptionally reserved list decision. I think we all know about that one. And that's about it for the documented stuff. Are there any questions? I'll take that as a no. We'll move to Section 1.2, the inferred one. 1.2.1, no longer allowing individuals as delegates for CCTLDs, which, as we all know, got crammed into the sponsorship agreement itself without clearly talking about it, but we didn't quite catch that.
Is that really how you spell delegates, with a U?
May be up for discussion. I will verify that, Patricia.
Okay.
1.2.2, the TOT-TL delegation. There was no significant variation on that. The .EU delegation, March 2005, supported by the September 2000 decision. So except for that, there was nothing exciting. 1.2.4, the .KZ. Redelegation, why are we talking about a redelegation in a delegation paper? The .KZ redelegation was the one where basically the board approved the redelegation without a sponsorship agreement. So basically that's the marker in the sand that killed the redelegation agreement, which is why it's here. The .AX delegation, June 2006, nothing significant there. .KP delegation, L gave me some grief that it wasn't KP. I checked. That's what the IANA report says. So I don't think there's any issues, and I did not note anything particular. The .ME delegation, September 2007, as part of the .YU retirement. There was nothing critical about the .ME or .RS delegations, as it were. And then there's the .CO redelegation. Again, why do we have a redelegation in the delegation paper? Because there were some changes which affect delegations. The IANA report introduces a new language for the evaluation of delegation and redelegation requests. We'll get my tongue untied. And it's all about adding the security and stability component to the items to be checked by IANA for delegation and redelegation. 1.2.9.3.2 states, I wrote up, Although there is no example of these criteria being applied to the delegation of a non-IDM CCTLD, they have been used in the delegation of all IDM CCTLDs, and as such should be considered new practice for the delegation of CCTLDs. And I would imagine that the next standard non-IDM CCTLD that gets delegated, one of the two or three left, will probably be evaluated by these unless things change. That would complete section 1.2, and I'll take questions at this point. Hearing none, and trying not to lose too many people to a very deep coma, because I know it's okay for me because I wrote it and I'm going through it, but on the other end, it's late in some places and people are certainly nodding off. Analysis. RFC 1591 and ICP1 are generally coherent for delegations of CCTLDs. The GAC principles include sections that apply to delegation of CCTLDs, but they're tempered via 1.3 in the GAC principles, which says that these principles are intended as a guide to the relationship between governments. They're CCTLD and ICANN. They are not intended to be binding and need both governments and registries to voluntarily agree. So I don't see a lot of grief there versus the original 2000 version, which was more contentious. 2.1.4, IANA has published a description of the processes and procedures it uses for the delegation of CCTLDs. It's a pretty good document, although it's getting a little long in the tooth now. It hasn't been updated since 2007. I personally don't like the fact that it mixes delegations and redelegations. There are areas where even if we know what we're talking about, you have to scratch your head a little bit and figure out what's going on. 2.15, September 25th, 2000, decision to require sponsorship agreements. Which basically was not covered by any existing policy at the time, was not supported by the CCTLD community, and the DRDWG public consultation document classifies this as interesting, given the way it was created. 2.16, yes, we are going over these and looking at some of the interesting points. Is the .eu decision, and that was classified in our public consultation report as significantly interesting given the way it was brought into the world. That completes section 2.1. I'll take questions at this point if there are any on this section. Hearing none, pretty cool. We'll proceed to section 2.2. Inferred processes and practices, approval of the draft sponsorship agreement by the board implicitly removes the option of delegating a CCTLD to an individual. That was classified as interesting, and mainly because the draft sponsorship agreement was published several times for comments, and there were no significant comments on that. Although I will note, after going through all the records, I'm not terribly certain how fair ICANN was at allowing comments and keeping good track of them back then. June 2005, the KZ redelegation, removing the need for the sponsorship agreements. And that was classified as significantly interesting. 2.2.3, the IANA report on the redelegation of .co brings in the new rules for security and stability. And that concludes section 2.2. Are there any questions at this point? Okay, thank you. Moving on to section 3, issues. Section 1 sort of lists the facts. Section 2 sort of brings in other information that is pertinent. Section 3 sort of says, well, do we have any problems with this stuff? 3.1, prior to the creation of CCNSO, the ICANN board failed to follow its own processes and procedures for developing formal rules that applied to the delegation of CCTLDs. Sponsorship agreements, exceptionally reserved ISO 3166. Following the creation of the CCNSO, the ICANN board has failed to follow its own processes and procedures, including the charter of the CCNSO, in developing implicit rules that apply to the delegation of CCTLDs. June 2005, .KZ decision removal of sponsorship agreements, and basically November 2009, redelegation of CO imposing of the stability and security requirements when evaluating delegations. 3.3, although ICANN refers to ICP1 as a restatement of RFC 1591 and News Memo Number 1, ICP1, which applies delegation of CCTLDs, there are a number of issues with ICP1. We concluded that in the public consultation report, it was significantly interesting because of the way it was brought into the world. ICP1 includes News Memo 1 on the same footing as RFC 1591, which is an issue for many CCTLDs, given that News Memo 1 was not approved by any process, unlike RFC 1591, but was simply published by Jay Postel. Since its publication, ICP1 has never been updated, although several key ICANN board decisions since its publication clearly impact its scope. ICP1 requires that IANA have access to the CCTLD zone file. We all remember the fun days of that. Although this is no longer required in practice, this rule is still in effect in ICP1. So those are some of our issues with ICP1. And I hope I captured the input from our last meeting on that. Most of that has been sort of tuned according to some comments. There is no documented process or procedure, I'm on 3.4 now, for updating IANA processes and procedures that apply to CCTLDs. Documentation has also demonstrated that there can be significant changes to these, such as dropping the requirement for sponsorship agreements without any consultation or notice. So after going through all this documentation, this note was also in the public consultation report. I think it's important. It's always unpleasant to go to the IANA page and find some brand new stuff without even as much as a header that says brand new stuff. IANA documentation on its processes and procedures for the delegation of CCTLDs could be improved. As we mentioned, don't like the mixing of delegation and redelegation process and procedures together. 3.6, terminology. This has been brought up in several meetings. We've gone from managers to sponsoring organizations and et cetera. Enough people brought it up that it was an issue, and we would like to note it as an issue and hopefully do something about it. Just a note in 3.7 on IDN, CCTLDs are the subject of a PDP and place these beyond the scope of this working group, so we're not considering those in the delegation paper here. So are there any questions on Section 3?
Sorry, Benny, if you could scroll back up to 3.4, and I guess I'll ask Kim to verify. I would have little doubt that IANA have some documented processes and procedures for updating the procedures that apply to CCTLDs, but...
Publicly available is all.
Yeah. So to add the words, there are no publicly available documents.
I just noticed as you were saying that I forgot to insert public. I'll take that as an update.
Okay. Cheers. Any other questions for Benny at this stage?
Can I comment?
Yes, please, Kim.
I think there's a few points in here that I'd take some issue with. I haven't reviewed this version of the document, so I'm going to have to take some time with it after this call. I think one thing that jumped out at me is 3.3.2, scrolling past now. I think technically the language might be correct, but I think it conveys something that really is not factual, which is says that ICP1 was effectively says ICP-1 was not approved, whereas 1591 went through an approval process.
You're on 3.3 and not 3.2, right?
3.3.2.
Oh, 3.3.2. Okay, sorry. I'll drop everything for you. There you go, Kim.
RFC 1591 was published through the RFC process, but it wasn't an approval process per se. It's an RFC with a classification of informational. It clearly states it's not a standard. It hadn't undergone review. I would argue, effectively self-published because John Postel was the RFC editor at the time as well. So I would prefer if the language could be made clearer that, RFC 1591 as informational RFCs are published today is somewhat like a self-publication mechanism. It doesn't imply that it underwent any significant review. And I fear the wording of 3.3.2 implies that RFC 1591 somehow went through a much more thorough review than ICP-1 did, which, as far as I'm aware, it was not the case.
Kim, I'm not going to argue with you. I'll correct the wording. I think that's a good point.
Hi, this is Nigel.
Oh, hi, Nigel. Just before you speak, Nigel, I think that is something that Bernie and Kim can take offline and resolve some wording between them and come back with a suggestion. Did you have something else, Nigel?
Yes, it was on this point, and while I wouldn't disagree with either the original or with what Kim is saying, there's another point which I think needs to be taken into account here, and I think, Bill, if you're still with us, that you might be able to give some slight more information on this, in that RFC 1591, although informational, is the one thing that's received explicit endorsement of, I can't remember exactly how many CCTLD managers, because it's a very, very long time ago, and it was something organized through the, if I remember correctly, the now non-existent IATLD. But there was quite a number of CCTLD managers, ourselves included, and I think Bill as well, who explicitly, and voluntarily, asserted that they would agree to RFC 1591.
Okay, thanks, Nigel. And yes, I think it's the problem in this regard is finding the documentation to provide a satisfactory level of evidence for the sort of report that we're writing of the testing of 1591 at the time, but I do recall it was quite broadly discussed in all sorts of arenas, including some intergovernmental forums where governments were generally comfortable. But I don't have evidence, and I'm not sure, Nigel or Bill, whether you could find that. So I think.
I think that exists.
Yeah.
Hey, am I muted still?
No, you're with us, Bill.
Yeah, this was actually filed initially with the white paper, I believe. The comments on the white paper, we filed a petition with as part of the IFWP, and then followed up after ICON was created with an additional follow-up petition. So it's documented. And I'm going to also point out, and I have this document, the government of Niue in January of 2000, I believe, or maybe it was January of 1999, I can look, has actually signed an agreement with IUSN, the .NU manager, in which the government of Niue recognizes RFC 1591 and its terms and conditions and agrees to abide by those terms and conditions in its management of gov.nu.
Okay, that's interesting. But I think Kim has made a valid point, and I think an improvement of wording may get us around the problem.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in since Nigel asked, and you said the documentation wasn't there. Just giving you the information.
Yeah, no, sure.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I I also recognize Kim's point, and I think I'll try and address things to make people comfortable. I think I, so far, I've not been doing bad in that department, so I think we're going to be okay.
I think we're all pretty confident of your ability in that regard.
Thank you. I've looked at, if I could find the IATLD website, and it's gone. So,
definitely gone.
Yeah, so I'll look at some of the submissions that you mentioned, Bill. That's a good reference, and maybe I'll be able to dig up something from there.
Bernie, it'll all be on archive.org.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. So we have an action point there for Bernie to continue working on the wording with Kim and looking for additional information. Thanks.
That or the Wayback Machine. Okay. Kim, you were on 332, and you said you had several points, so I'll turn it back over to you.
You know, there was a couple more of a similar vein as they scrolled past. I didn't write down the numbers as they flipped past. I'll just undertake that. After this call, I'll review it and send through my feedback.
If you flip me an email, I'll be glad to look at those and correct those things.
Yeah, sure thing.
Or raise them on the list if you want, Kim, either or.
Yeah, if we get into a major sparring match. But you know what it's like writing these large documents, in seclusion. You know, you need the input from people. I'm very glad for that. All right, so Kim's going to write to me. Are there any other points or questions? All right, I think that closes off Section 3. Section 4, under recommendations, on the discussion last week, we had in the original document us looking more strongly at 4.1, which is current situation is acceptable, or 4.2, current situation requires some changes. After the meeting, seemed to be a general feeling from the participants that really we were looking at making the recommendation more towards the stronger one. So basically what we've got right now is we can think of the current situation as acceptable because the delegation of a new CCTLD is a rare event with 6 and 10 years, not considering IDM CCTLDs. There are rules, processes, and procedures and practices in effect for the delegation of CCTLDs, and there are a limited number of issues with the current situation. The middle ground view is the situation requires some changes but does not justify a PDP. There are rules and processes, and there are a limited number of issues. The CCNSO requests that ICANN board address the short-term situation includes the requirement for a sponsorship agreement should be dealt with if we're not having it anymore because technically it's still on the books. ICP-1 should be overhauled or scrapped. The CCNSO requests that IANA as a minimum should formally commit to provide the CCTLD community with proper notice of any changes in its posted processes and procedures, including a detailed listing of all changes, as well as the reasons for making these changes. IANA could further improve on this by committing to present any such changes prior to implementing them to the CCNSO community at an ICANN meeting. But I'm not pushing too hard here. The CCNSO requests that IANA improve its documentation of the process and procedures for the delegation of CCTLDs. That's more personal peeve, as I said, Kim. I don't like the fact that delegation and redelegation are joined together in the explanation thing. The CCNSO developed a standard terminology agreeable to all for all these documents, so we're not talking about sponsorship agreements, which is really an irritant to many people. Now, I understand that within ICANN you've standardized on sponsorship agreements, but I guess we're sort of saying we don't like that. The current satisfaction in 4.13, we sort of look at reasons for supporting those things. 4-2, sorry. The last two possible recommendations to be seriously discussed by the working group. The working group may wish to consider the following elements when trying to select a recommendation. What would a PDP change versus the current situation? Could these changes be achieved without a PDP? What process could be used to ensure proper community involvement if not a PDP? Are the ICANN board and IANA open to changes without a PDP? And that's about the report. So I guess in closing, we're looking at either recommending some changes but not a PDP or a PDP. I think Nigel and Elle have been quite clear that they prefer the PDP option. I don't mean to speak for you, Nigel, I'm just reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And after re-looking at it, it's fairly obvious that there is some weight for that argument. It's also, for me, it's a coin toss. I mean, we could achieve most of what we want if ICANN is open to some to the CCNSO providing guidelines for the delegations of CCTLDs, which would avoid everyone of the PDP. If they're not, there are some things which need fixing. And if there is no other way, then there may be a PDP. The other thing we should think about is, you know, we've got to come to a landing on some of those things. So that's my report, sir. I'll be glad to take questions or turn it over to you.
Well, I should certainly like to speak at this point.
Thank you. Thank you. Just before you do, Nigel, I think it would be safe to assume that the feeling of the working group is that doing nothing at all is not an option. I mean, it is one of the options, but we're dismissing that. So the question arises as to whether we think we can provide a vehicle of improvement without a PDP, or whether or not we need a PDP. And with that, I'll hand over to Nigel.
Thanks. I'm going to try and draw quite a difficult distinction here, because I do actually agree with 90% of Bernie's effective observations rather than conclusions, in which he says the situation is generally satisfactory with a few niggles and irritations. Forgive me if I'm paraphrasing at this point. But the distinction is this, is that although it's a relatively rare circumstance, you said 6 in 10 years, so an average of 1 every year and a half or something like that, and generally speaking, not much bad has appeared to happen in the creation of new TLDs at this point. I take great issue with the fact that the situation is thereby deemed to be satisfactory, and it's unsatisfactory for the following reason. That there seems to be no clear distinction between ICANN board as a legislative or policy-making authority and ICANN board as an executive or, should we say, body applying existing policy. It seems that every time a new delegation comes along, they do things differently. And I'm very uncomfortable as to the idea that such extremely broad discretion to do what they like in every individual circumstance exists. I think it's the job of the CCNSO and the community to set down the rules under why which happens, and I think we've got a pretty good idea of what most of those rules are and should be. But the very idea that, you know, when one delegation, they can say, well, from now on, we're not going to accept individuals. Not in itself a contentious decision, but the fact that they've made the decision itself is extremely contentious. I think in order to clarify things, we need a whole PDP to create a structure in which these things essentially, although in the case of delegation we haven't really seen any bad things happen, it's all done with an overall structure and overall context, and that's my point.
Yeah, and I think that's not an unreasonable position in many ways. I think, though, what we would need to take into account is if we were to launch a PDP, the interest of governments would become significantly greater, and it's potentially then a question of whether you want to invite the closer inspection and therefore input from governments through a PDP process, which could alienate the CCNSO from that constituency altogether, whether it's worth that sort of risk for the sort of issues that we're dealing with. So I'm not necessarily trying to defend not having a PDP, but just wondering if...
You're pointing out a risk of doing so. I appreciate that. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that it's unreasonable to expect that if public policy considerations apply to creation of new TLDs, that discussion shouldn't be taking place.
That's true, but I think, too, the other reading I have is that in some instances where the board have made decisions, they've been a little critical of the CCNSO for not having clarity in place, and have sort of indicated that they've made their decision because there is an absence of framework. So I guess the question is there a vehicle of framework outside of a PDP that may avoid the ire of the GAC or the contention of the GAC that sovereign issues may apply and so on, that we could go through that would avoid a PDP?
Well, if you don't mind if I come back on that.
Sure.
I think it's entirely reasonable that in any eventual PDP that governments and public policy authorities should take a full part in that discussion. I mean, I know it sounds strange for somebody like myself coming back from the old 1996 internet, basically from the days before even people in the wider world knew what an internet was and why government should be bothered about it. But it's entirely reasonable. And in fact, I wouldn't be particularly afraid of that. I think one of the problems is that you don't engage at a timely manner, and as such, I mean, we've seen this in perhaps the GTLD space at the moment. The engagement doesn't happen at the appropriate time, so when people actually wake up to the fact that they should have said something or they should have invited the input, it then becomes a bit more of a yelling match.
Well, could I just add that I'm currently at the ITU Plenipotentiary in Guadalajara, and we have some governments asserting sovereignty over IP addresses, having spent 20 hours or so arguing over sovereign rights over IP addresses, I kind of would caution us all to try and avoid...
But I mean, you talk about sovereign rights over IP addresses, and it's a bit of a diversion from. But I mean, I have every sympathy for the hardship you're going through, Keith. That's just a complete legal nonsense.
Oh, of course it is, and of course it will not amount to anything in the ITU arena, in any case, because they have no mandate or authority to act. But It is all I'm suggesting is it is a huge can of worms, and it has been opened, and nobody can get the lid back on here. And, you know, by comparison, I shudder to think of their desire to engage in a debate on CCTLD delegations and so on. And I think, too, in order to be realistic going forward, I think things like delegations of new CCTLDs to individuals rather than organisations would be extraordinarily unlikely, and I think a delegation made without government agreement would be impossible.
But you see that, I mean, although I'm not suggesting, again, that governments do not have an important public policy role, in fact, I'm actually stating that explicitly, that again is yet another implicit change in the policy that the ICANN board have made along the way.
Sure.
I mean, yes, sure, News Memo 1 states the wishes of the government are important, and that's clearly become the case as the internet's become, and I wouldn't say critical infrastructure because that has a particular meaning, but it's certainly nationally important infrastructure, if you like, or nationally important functions, just like the telephone system.
Sure.
It would be ridiculous to say that governments do not have an important public policy role, but that's quite different from saying whether they have ownership over something that was created from a private network of private networks.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. May I ask a question?
That's very true, Nigel. Just...
Sorry, I've rehearsed that for 15 years.
Yes, but I guess it's and of course we all acknowledge that every country or every nation has a right to establish public policy, and part of that process could evolve to a state on a nation-by-nation basis that could prohibit the current operator from operating a CCTLD. Or that CCTLD, but notwithstanding that, I think the elevated issue is that of sovereignty, and the issue that arises is a government today would be somewhat remiss in its duty to not want to have a considerable input into the structuring of a delegation, given that the likelihood of their country's banking industry, share broking industry and so on are going to be dependent on that CCTLD.
Yeah, the thing is, Keith, that the more you say this, the more I think that is an argument in favour of having a PDP.
Okay. Sorry, now someone else wanted to make a point.
My hand is raised.
yeah, Patricia.
Yeah, thanks. I'm a bit confused, just maybe because I've missed some of the late night meetings, but if we come to the conclusion that there needs to be a change in the policies that are applied...
Patricia, sorry, can I interrupt?
Yeah?
We don't necessarily have to come to that conclusion to have a PDP. We could say that we have a PDP and adopt the existing policies. I'm just saying we need a PDP to validate it.
Yeah, but given that the years that it would take for a PDP and all the work that it means, asking for it while at the same time feeling that there doesn't need to be a change, it's a bit of a contradiction. But anyway, suppose we're convinced that some things need to change or to be re-examined. I understand what a PDP is and how that would work. What I don't necessarily understand is what the alternative is. Could somebody describe to me what a non-PDP process would be to change policy and what legal standing it would have in the framework of the bylaws?
I notice Bill has his hand up too. I guess there are a number of methodologies that could apply. One would be for the CCNSO to publish its own guidelines and refer those to the ICANN board, which would not carry the weight of a policy that's been through a PDP, but it may provide some guidance for the board. There are other ways that we've thought about. One would be to work with the GAC in terms of making some suggestions for the GAC to reinforce the GAC principles, which, if referred to the board by the GAC with a CCNSO endorsement, would become quite binding on the ICANN board and so on. So there are some options there, Patricio.
Can you consider my hand up?
Certainly. So I'll take Bill first, then Nigel.
Well, turning back to the document itself and looking at option 2, which is, I guess, numbered 4.1.2.2 or 4.1.2.1 or whatever that option is.
yep, we have it on screen now.
First, from a practical point of view, I'm not quite sure how we could, for example, significantly overhaul ICP1 without a PDP. And I would like to add some language to this if we decide to stick with it, but or scrap it without a PDP. And the same goes for the following paragraph. I'm not sure how we could implement these recommendations unless we had a PDP to implement them. And that's just a comment on the document itself. We probably need to find another way to say what we've just been talking about, the alternative to a PDP. The other issue is there's two other approaches that might be considered. One of them, and I understand that it may not relate directly to the concept of delegation, but it's worth putting on the table as a sort of an orthogonal approach, whatever that means. One of them is the process that the CCTLDs tried to do 8 or 9 years ago, which is to develop a best practices document and perhaps make that part of the package of things that have to be implemented in order to do a delegation. I personally don't think... I think it would be difficult to start a PDP and have it be successful if it implies basically deconstructing RFC 1591, ICP1, and then putting it back together again in a way that makes everybody happy. Because I don't think that's going to happen. So I would suggest that if we do recommend a PDP to do something like this 4.1.2 section, the PDP focus on building procedures to implement the policies in RFC 1591 or ICP1 and leave those in place and have this new procedural PDP actually be the implementation of the policies. And those would be the terms and conditions under which delegations and so on might be considered. That's one thought. And the other thought is...
Bill, I'm going to interrupt you for a second just to be sure I got your idea properly.
Sure.
Okay, so what you're saying is close to the notion of guidelines that Keith was talking about a few minutes ago, there needs to be something developed, but your approach in this thing is that there be a PDP after those guidelines are established to manage the implementation of that. So you're sort of splitting the thing in two? Am I getting you right?
What I'm really saying is, let's take the existing policies and assume they're written in stone. And, I think ICP was basically an attempt to carve away the irrelevancies of RFC 1591 as it related to the no longer functioning policies for GTLDs once they're assigned and everybody did their contracts. So let's take the existing policies as the foundation. Let's theoretically say the unchangeable foundation. They have certain goals or missions that have to be achieved in this process. And then, in the same vein as IANA has been doing, let's work on the procedures for implementing this foundation that's written in stone. And I think that's the meat of the PDP, which is to develop the procedures, not to take apart ICP-1 or any of that other stuff, but to build off it with procedures and processes and implementation of it in a way that is acceptable to the CCNSO. I get really worried when I start thinking that, what we're really doing is we're starting a whole new thing from scratch. Because for one thing, I think we'll lose a lot of support from the CCTLD community. There'll be a lot of confusion and contention, as Keith has mentioned, and we'll, sort of be adrift for the couple of years or 3 years that we're in the process. Meanwhile, there will be new IDNs launched and possibly some new CCTLDs as well, with changes in national borders and et cetera. And, so what do we do? Do we just say, in the interim, RFC 59 was fine, and however IANA interprets it is fine, but we're going to tear it apart and show all its problems? I think moving from a solid foundation as opposed to a weak foundation would be a way to go forward with a PDP.
Okay, thanks, Bill. I've got a speaking order of Nigel, then Kim, that's some very interesting food for thought. Thanks, Bill. That's most useful. Anyway, Nigel.
Thanks. I'm going to try and be as brief as I can, because it's getting very, very late here. Bill, however, has thrown up, in fact, perhaps he's thrown up in sharp relief, the fundamental problem that I see. But I want to go back to, I make the overall point, and I'll come back and react to Bill in a way. Going back to when Patricio was talking, there is a fundamental change, both in delegation, redelegation, and retirement, that we need to make. And that change is that the ICANN board must stop making policy on the hoof. We must provide a policy framework in which they can apply agreed and existing policy without every 18 months or so a new delegation, for whatever reason, comes along and they say, well, the policy was this, but now we're going to do this. The situation, although no bad things have happened to date, but the position whereby you give that immense broad discretion to the board of ICANN to do whatever the hell they like is unacceptable.
I don't think we're giving. I think they're taking.
We are giving by taking no action, if you want to put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah. So coming on to what Bill says, and generally speaking, I get on well with Bill, and I normally agree with him, but here I totally disagree with him. Bill is making the same confusion that the ICANN board are making, that of confusing the procedural and the executive with the rulemaking and the legislative. We cannot have such a thing as a procedural PDP. Procedures are for the staff and the IANA and maybe the CCNSO in producing best practices documents. That's absolutely fine. But the policy is for the CCNSO to make, and the ICANN board is to execute within the guidelines of those policies. And the fact that we've been remiss in not providing up-to-date policy is only partly responsible for the situation, because, to put it bluntly, I remember going back to 1998 and 1999, the ICANN board were doing that back then. Not always with ill will, but that's the situation that was going on back then, and it's a situation that we're in now. So Bill used the word orthogonal. Orthogonal basically means that we should approach this in a holistic view. So if we need a policy for redelegation or retirement, we need one for delegation. And that doesn't mean that we're going to make any drastic changes. We can start out by saying it has generally been accepted by all the CCTLD managers that RSC 1591 is the basis. It's been accepted by any number of governments, and that the GAC principles 2005 are generally compatible. But, you know, things move on, so therefore it is time to reaffirm and examine whether any further changes are needed.
Yep, okay. Thank you, Nigel. Of course, we do always have the opportunity to go through a non-ICANN process, and your earlier comments, Nigel, reminded me that any PDP output only applies to CCNSO members, and you may have an emerging delegation that does not want to engage in ICANN in any form other than the delegation process.
But you see, that's a difficulty, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're not a CCNSO member, and you're not even entitled to be a CCNSO member until after the delegation is granted. But what's the policy by which that delegation is granted?
Yeah, no, that's true. But the other approach is to rewrite 1591 through the IETF process, which has some appeal as well, and then if accepted, becomes broadly applicable to the CCTLD community rather than purely within ICANN. However, look, I think we are going to run out of time and probably not resolve this issue tonight, but Kim has had his hand up for some time, so Kim.
Just wanted to make a few points on the general theme of both Bill and Nigel's comments. You know, firstly, this is definitely my personal view. I would represent this as I can. But the way I see the documentation we have right now, we have RSC 1591. I believe that was IANA staff making a statement, as at 1994, here's how we do things. Similarly, the CCTLD memo that introduced government, published, I think, in 1997, same thing. IANA staff saying, as of from now, you know, here's how we're doing things. ICP1, same thing. I can happen to run IANA by that point, but in 1999, a statement of, here's how we do things. Very broad statement, lacking in a lot of detail about implementation, but statements about, here's how CCTLDs are done right now. I think there is an absence of policy, and certainly some people take those documents as saying that's the definitive policy, but I think they were written at the time with a view of explaining what current practice is. So the reason I'm saying that is if we think about the discussion about whether there should be a PDP or whether there's other ways of manipulating or improving the process, I think that if we take that as sort of a correct assessment of what those documents were at the time, it's reasonable to state that documentation could be made today about how IANA should be implementing the broad principles as at right now. I think that right now the challenge that as staff we have, and certainly the board grapples with as well, is because what little documentation we have is very vague, and because there isn't absolute clear policy that really says you must do it in a very specific way, there is a wide range of interpretation that can be applied. And I think what's been characterized in this call as being the board changing policy on the fly is really better characterized as the board trying to interpret between a really broad and non-specific set of principles in which to apply the delegation criteria. And, you know, it's something that's very difficult. I mean, if we look at local internet community support, what does that mean? That means something different to everyone, I think. And it's something the Board IANA Committee, I mean, it just had a meeting yesterday and was discussing at length about how is the board meant to interpret what local internet community support is. You know, there's no guidance, and every country really treats it differently, and as a board, how do they determine whether that criteria is met in any given delegation or redelegation? So, I don't know, I guess I'm rambling a little, but I think that there are potentially are ways not to do a PDP if that was the desire of 60 TLDs. I think, you know, the GAC showed that they came up with the GAC principles, which was a statement by the GAC on several things that they considered important to be considered when doing delegations and redelegations. And my gut assessment is if tomorrow there was a set of 16 or so principles that laid out, here's all the things ICANN should consider when doing delegations and redelegations, if it was more a set of, you know, agreed practices or principles as opposed to a formal PDP, certainly I think the board would welcome having that kind of input to help factor into their decision making. So anyway, that's my personal opinion, but I think that there are other mechanisms other than the PDP potentially if that's a course that wanted to be pursued, particularly if you consider RFC 1591 and ICP1 in the vein that I do, which is that they were descriptions of how INSR did things at discrete moments of time, and certainly such documents could be generated again and supersede those documents, if everyone agrees.
Okay.
Kate, this
Thank
is
you.
Burning when you've got it.
Yep, thanks, Kim. No, that's most useful. Bernie, you have a comment.
I think the whole notion of 412 was what Kim was talking about. And just for the rest of the audience, Kim and I did not speak about this before the document was published, or since, as a matter of fact. So this is not a setup here. But really, that was the general idea we were trying to arrive at 412, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But one of the just practical considerations is, you know, there will be a PDP on retirement. We can't avoid it. Two, if you do a PDP, I side with Nigel on the Nigel and Bill thing. The way PDPs are defined, you got to do PDPs on policy, and if you open the can, you're going to open it. You can't just say we're going to open part of the can. Third, because we're doing a retirement PDP, things are going to take a while, and yes, it's going to take some time, and we have no choice to do retirement PDP. But if we do the middle ground approach on delegation, I think there's a couple of things that apply. A, it's an interesting experiment. B, I think Kim has pointed out that, you know, probably a lot of people would be happy if we do this. And C, doing that doesn't mean we can't do a PDP later if we see it doesn't work. So to me, it just adds to the possibilities and well worth considering. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, I guess, you know, we do need to bring this to a conclusion, and we aren't going to achieve any degree of consensus, I feel, on the call, and perhaps not even within the working group. So my suggestion is that potentially the way forward could be to examine some alternatives, at least one alternative to the current recommendation, and perhaps one or two others, and you know, revisit those and see if we can find some consensus in the working group on a preferred alternative. And if we can't come up with a preferred alternative, then we refer the extent of the alternatives back to the CCNSO as our recommendation, so that the CCNSO in its entirety slices and dices and chooses the option from the range that we serve. So, but I think we probably need to talk that through a bit more, and I think for the purposes of going forward, why don't
we, as in Bernie and Bart and I, do a bit of work to see if we can find a couple of alternatives and put them forward as part of the recommendations for the next call. And if that's all right with the working group, I think that we could, you know, just you know, work our way through piece by piece. So if we look at the current document, I think we've got one clause that Kim and Bernie are going to work on. If we regard the rest of the document, except for the recommendations, as being finalised, so that we don't need to re-review the extant document and just concentrate on the two pieces, namely the recommendations and the Kim slash Bernie clause, and see what we can tidy up on our next call. Is everyone reasonably happy about that as a process?
I think that's the plan.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm not hearing any dissent. So I think that's about as far as we could take that document for today's call. And
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's good progress and some very useful discussions. I think our next meeting is scheduled for October the 28th, it's a two-hour call, so please ensure you have that in your diaries.
Keith, do you have the time in front of you?
Yes, it's actually up on the Adobe Connect screen.
Yeah, I'm not connected to Adobe at the moment.
0600 UTC.
Okay, I'm not entirely certain, but I think that is a call I have no way I can make because I'm in transit to South Africa.
I think that's an unmovable one for me because I'm in Jordan for the APTLD meeting. And yeah, please change your flight, Nigel.
Well, no, I suspect I may actually be able to join in, but I suspect I'll be in a hotel at Amsterdam Airport around that time.
But, we'll be quite an important meeting. And I think in the interim, Bernie's doing some work on the first of the two re-delegation reports. And, Bernie, can you give us an idea when we will have that ready for distribution to the working group?
Yes, I've made, I think, significant progress. Today's Thursday. I would say that by Wednesday next week, that will be out to the list. That would be Wednesday the 20th of October, giving everyone more than 7 days to have a look at it before the 28th meeting.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful because if I am going to miss some or all of that meeting, then I guess it might be helpful if you and I sort of try to thrash it out offline and you can you can either synthesize or bring to the meeting what input I have.
We'll be glad to do that, Nigel, if that works for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, this is sounding like a good plan. So our first agenda for the next meeting will be do the bracketed issues on the delegation report and a first read of the re-delegation report.
We might have the YAP clause on the retirement report also, Keith.
True. It would be good to put that particular report to bed, signed and sealed. So I'll keep that listed for the agenda too.
Yeah, I will try to get this to the Secretariat next week, but the complication is I'll be at an ESSEC retreat as well.
Okay.
So, but I will try to get
it
as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we've got through to the 28th of October, so you might have a bit of discretion in that time.
Yeah. Question about the November 11th meeting.
Sorry, Patricio?
Question about the November 11th meeting.
Yes.
I'm reading here in the Adobe Connect that it's 1300 UTC, no time change daylight savings. There's no daylight savings for UTC. UTC is UTC.
Correct.
What do you mean?
Correct. No, it's just that if we stuck to our original UTC times, that would go to an even more horrible time zone for lots of people.
Okay. When you say daylight saving, do you mean in what country?
Well, the problem nowadays is that the world moves into daylight saving in a random fashion rather than any given time period. So New Zealand has been in daylight saving for about 3 weeks now.
Chile has been for 1 week, and the Northern Hemisphere is switching to what?
We're about to stop using summertime.
Yeah.
Daylight savings time is not an expression that's in my active vocabulary. We have summertime.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But are you still in summertime, or when do
summertime will end this week or next week? It's normally about October the 21st.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a bit confusing to speak about daylight savings.
Sorry, it is a New Zealand expression, or the expression we use in New Zealand. But yeah, and this was just mindful of trying to get the time slots realigned to sensibility. I think that's where that happens. It's sounding to me, too, that we may need another meeting between the 28th October and the 11th November meeting. But let's see how we progress things in the next week.
Keith, just a minor administrative matter, which, following on from what Patricio said, it's actually more significant than you might think, in that when... Let's just leave aside the kind of random nature of the switch, which is generally within a three-week period. But one effect of being in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere is that when you switch from one set to the other, you actually change the difference between the two time zones by 2 hours.
Correct.
Yes.
That can cause some serious... scheduling issues, so maybe it's worth re-examining the times in the two halves of the year.
Okay, I'll re-look at the next times too, just to make sure that I was right in my assessment. But yes, I'll do that. I think we need to wind up this call though fairly quickly. So I'll have a look that in the interim, let's confirm the time for the next meeting at least. Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you all for your contributions and participation, and we'll talk to you on the next call if we don't hear from you before. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.